Welcome, everyone, to the fierce compassion of the divine feminine entering the era of the Empress, where women across the globe are discovering how to embody the Empress archetype by living a life of compassion, character, courage, and grace. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and it is my great delight to be here with my dear friend, Astara. Welcome, Astara. So good to have you today.
Thank you, Kathy. So happy to be here.
So for those of you that don't know, before she founded Flower of Life Press in 2010, Astara was a transpersonal psychotherapist and art therapist, supporting women who wanted to explore their spirituality and cultivate their creativity in their healing journeys. She was also a brand strategist and book designer turned accomplished creative director within the realms of a larger international publishing house. During her tenure in corporate, she realized how the voices of women were far too sparse and the barrier to releasing their message into the world was too complicated for any modern goddess with an enriching and healing story to share. Her purpose and passion is to uplift the voices of women, to help them heal, find their power, and express their truth while stepping into and embracing the next iteration of themselves. In addition to running her publishing company and supporting hundreds of women annually to birth their stories and publish their books, she privately coaches a handful of sisters every year, initiating today's modern women into the ancient priestess mysteries. Through the study and embodiment of various archetypal energies, as well as energy healing techniques and deep intuitive and psychic skills, she holds exquisite space for women to transform and step into life as the creatrix of their own reality. As a priestess of the 13 Moon Mystery School and an anointing priestess of the Rosa Mystica Mystery School, she's devoted to walking the path of an open heart and supporting women to embody their sovereignty, elevate their consciousness, and break through any internal barriers to a level of presence, passion, and power in a life that they've never dreamed possible. In her spare time, you'll find her writing, making art, and walking in the fields of her country farmhouse in Connecticut with her writer husband, her three grown daughters, and her English pointer, Kona. Is that
Kona? Kona. Yeah.
She's a seeker who loves exploring life's mysteries, especially through the creative arts, ceremonial plant medicine, and sacred travel. Astara, welcome. I am so excited to have you speak on this delightful topic, the self-expressed woman, cultivating compassion for our divine humanity. So my first question right out the gate, what does it mean to be a self-expressed woman?
Ooh, I just have chills right now, Kathy.
Me too.
Because it sometimes feels so hard to put this into words. So I'm just going to feel into my heart and into my womb space right now. The self-expressed woman trusts herself.
Yeah.
She's willing to meet herself inside. As a way to find guidance in her life and as a way to co-create with the divine, whatever her version of the divine is. And sometimes it expresses itself in me through my higher self, through my inner child, different pieces of me that I may have let go of or disowned. So a self-expressed woman is unapologetically herself. She's able to speak truth, know herself, and speak truth without crumbling. She's able to hold a boundary, but also keep her heart open all at the same time. And so when she's self-expressed, she shows up in this way where she is present. She's authentic. She's who she is. She does not have any masks on, and she's not people-pleasing. She just is. And the self-expressed woman has been maligned in history.
Yeah.
for eons. And we know her in history as many different powerful women who have been beheaded or who have been burned at the stake, you know? And so we carry this fear, this persecution complex, right? The witch wound around, well, I can't be me because I could get killed or called a witch or accused of something that's not true. And so the self-expressed woman is able to acknowledge that this is the journey that the divine feminine has been on, and that we all can play a part in bringing forward that energy of self-expression as love, as our humanity, as our divine humanity, and accept ourselves and let go of all of that shame and anything that would hold us back from finding and discovering our aliveness.
Yeah.
In our expression, whether it's our voice, our singing, our art, our, you know, our writing, whatever it is, our journeying, our ceremonial leadership, any kind of leadership in the world and in our families and in our communities is served by women who are fully in their self-expression without shame.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me as you're talking that it's like, it will be self-expressed women that change the world.
Yeah.
And until we can get there, you know, we may be kind of stuck with what we've got.
Yeah.
It's like we have to move into that. So, and it also occurs to me that in order to do that, we'd have to have a lot of self-compassion. Can you speak into that a little bit? Why is that so important for a self-expressed woman?
Yes, because, you know, when we break out of the box, when we break free of this gilded cage that we're in, like be a good girl, do the right thing, make everybody else happy, and put yourself last. And by the way, completely don't think about your health, your well-being, your the things that you need first. All of that is like on the back burner. So the compassion is really has been really important for me to be able to cultivate inside of myself for myself so that I can forgive myself and acknowledge like, oh, okay, that's just an old thought. It's an old pattern. It's not really real. The fear or the shame or the imposter syndrome or, oh my gosh, I can't wear that color or that shape out to the grocery store. What if somebody locally sees me and thinks I'm this or that, you know, when it happens, cause it does, it's not like these things go away necessarily. It's just that we learn how to be with it and how to work with those parts of ourselves so that we can love it back and not disown it and suppress it again and again and again. So it's like when people say, this like journey towards wholeness, it really is wholeness. It really is reclaiming our energy and those parts, those slivers of ourself that we've left out there somewhere and abandoned in fight or flight or in trauma, whatever the case might be. So for me, I wasn't raised like really understanding compassion or heart-based expression or emotion. The generation of my parents, my father is a Marine, my mother is Scottish, very much like sort of not rigid thinking, but they had their ways, they had their belief systems, they've always done the best they could, but it doesn't necessarily jive with what I needed and didn't know how to even express what I needed, right? So the compassion is a great place to start, because when we can have compassion, our heart can open.
Yeah.
So if I'm feeling, you know, something in the moment that is like a lower vibe, it's not serving me, it's an old behavior, an old thought pattern, then I can just give my little inner child some love and compassion. It's okay. You can let that go. You know, it's there's nothing wrong with you. It's normal sometimes to go there to feel that. But it's okay to let it go. I've got you. You're safe.
Yeah.
And that Ho'oponopono, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That mantra has been a beautiful, simple way of cultivating that loving vibration of forgiveness and love and gratitude for self and for other beings, just for the field. So I find myself chanting that a lot when I'm in that space, when I need to pull myself out of that space and find my power again. Mm-hmm. I also have found working with green Tara and other versions of the goddess of compassion to be really helpful, because I can then cultivate more empathy for my own life experience, for other people, and keep my heart open. So that's really the secret to compassion, is to feel the heart space, to keep it open, and to continue to cultivate that loving vibration of forgiveness.
Right.
Forgiveness. Because without it, then we're just stuck in that other place, and there's no way out, and it doesn't serve us or anything around us, anybody.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. So it also occurs to me that, you know, we get busy in our everyday lives and we just go, 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 do. And rarely do we have time to even consider whether or not we are self-expressed. So for just the average everyday woman that is listening to us today, what would you say to her about how do you determine if you're actually living your own self-expression or not? And how do you access the truth of your being so that you can share it with others?
Yeah. So self-expression is basically being self-expressed is being soul-led, is being led by the soul. So it requires that journey, that willingness to find ourselves, to find our soul's voice, and to be with what's going on in there. So when we look at all aspects of our life, like number one, the body, this was a piece, I'm still working on it. My body has always come last. So like, because I've wanted to crawl out of my skin most of my life, it's not comfortable. But finding ways to do that, whether it's through meditation, for me, it's mostly going outside and putting my feet in the grass and being in nature. Nature has is the thing that inspires me to feel connected, for my heart to feel open, and for me to feel like I belong to the earth and to the planet and to life itself. So it gives me that sense of awe, that sense of I'm here, I'm present, I can feel it, I can get through it. So for the everyday woman, I would say it's like, look at these different aspects of your life. Look at your body. How are you loving yourself? How are you giving your body compassion? Are you pushing it so hard that it's going to have adrenal fatigue? Are you resting? You know, the divine feminine is about resting and slowing down and presence. It's the complete opposite of everything we've been trained to live through as. So like intuition, if I can just flip my perspective and I'm looking for signs, I'm looking for the synchronicities in my life every moment. Here's an example. On the solar eclipse, my dog and I got attacked by a Rottweiler. It was a horrific, horrific experience. My ear was bitten and torn. I had to get stitches. My dog has had a couple surgeries, thousands of dollars later. And, you know, unprovoked. And I found myself in this suddenly in this attack, and I had never been attacked before, but my body knew what to do. When I look back now, after having gone through this window of time, like 2 weeks of doing the healing work and letting it flow out and feeling like I have PTSD and I'm scared, you know, now I know I'm feeling like my body knows what to do. My body fought back. I was kicking and screaming and protecting, and I was able to get out of there alive and able to do the next thing to get myself to the place I needed to get to and my puppy. So I'm like, wow, she's incredible that my body knew what to do. And then post attack, it's been like, okay, can I allow myself to feel and not suppress it? Because I know intellectually, if I don't, it'll get stuck in my body somewhere and maybe cause cancer later or something and keep me miserable. So I've been giving myself space, spaciousness to feel it, to just cry and not be embarrassed in front of my husband or my kids or anybody, but just cry with no purpose, no reason, knowing that it's releasing. I'm doing my body a favor here. I'm feeling my feelings. It's flowing through and coming out. I was somebody who that was never, I was never trained on how to even feel.
Right.
So it's a big deal for me to let myself feel something and to cry and mm-hmm. know that it's releasing. Right. So that is self-compassion. That's giving my body and my energy system a chance to recover mm-hmm. from that trauma.
Yeah.
And then intellectually, I can make meaning from it. I can see what a gift that was. I've now learned even more what it feels like to be, to carry assault, an assault, a violent assault in my body, in my system. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this must be how Black men feel all the time, wandering around waiting to get attacked or killed by a cop or somebody.
Right.
This must be how women feel who have been sexually assaulted or abused or domestic violence, and walking around with that feeling and that knowing in the body that it's possible, that mm-hmm. life is unpredictable, that things happen and it's not fun. It is not fun. It is scary as heck. And sometimes there's no explanation.
Yeah.
And we just have to be with it and like accept it. Why should I have to accept that? Mm-hmm. It's so painful, right? But that's the thing. The pain is the part that we push away. And so to accept that there is pain, there's 50% light, 50% dark, and it just all moves around.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. still all there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that too is giving myself compassion, cultivating compassion to let my pain be enough, be okay.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I'm human and can feel pain is actually okay. So that was another gift. Like, wow, time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
I now have greater empathy for other people. Mm-hmm. I now understand what it feels like to be in an unprovoked attack, you know? And so mm-hmm. to me, that's serving my self-expression, because now I can use this experience in my life to better my life and to serve other people better.
Yeah, I love that. That kind of leads me into the next piece of this, because part of the title of your topic was cultivating compassion for our divine humanity. So mm-hmm. I love how you used your experience as a mirror so you could begin to understand others. A lot of times we get so stuck in our own experience that we forget that it's all a mirror.
Yes. Oh yeah. And trust me, I blamed myself. Why did I call this upon myself? Right. Knowing that there's a certain part of me that I am radically responsible for my grid, for as mm-hmm. a creatrix of mm-hmm. my life, that mm-hmm. I create this stuff. Like if I want to own that to that level of responsibility, I created that. Mm-hmm. Why did my soul create that? Why did I create that for myself? Right. So that I could really quickly get to the next level of my conscious awareness
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
around this stuff, to be able to hold space better, to be able to hold a more expansive space, hold more people, mm-hmm. hold more money, steward mm-hmm. more money, hold a higher vision. So that's why I created that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful, even though it sucked. I could have never predicted it, and I would never wish it upon anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I really, truly am grateful for the experience, because I wouldn't have had that wake up.
Right.
I'm just da 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 da. My husband and I were like, "Wow, life is so great!" Like the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're having that conversation.
Boom. And then all it's a huge wake up call, and life gives us these wake up calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the process of this, I realized there's a lot of grief inside of me that wants to come out mm-hmm. from so much. I don't even know what.
Yeah.
It just wants to flow out. It wants to be released. And this was a way for that to get activated that I could not have activated inside of myself mm-hmm. otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I love that in 2 weeks' time, you've gone from, oh my goodness, to I'm grateful. I mean, I think that's a big
To
be commended that you got there that quickly.
I got there quickly. I thought I got there more quickly than I did. Right. The next day, oh, this is good. It was my left ear. It means, oh, what am I not hearing in terms of from the divine? Like, no, It took more than just that.
Right.
I had to do some serious, I'm still working it. I have not gone back out on that trail with my dog. I do not want to. Mm. I'm still scared, you know.
I don't blame you. Oh. It,
but I'm just going to take it day by day. And I also knew I've got tools to deal with this. I felt so proud of myself. Like I can deal with trauma. I know I can get through it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found, you know, I did some breath work. I met with some mastermind sisters. I was able to get some support. Mm-hmm. And I had an acupuncture session and I had mm-hmm. doctor's visits and things. So I felt very supported and I could move that trauma through consciously because I get it. I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And now I feel it. And so what mm-hmm. am I going to do? So it was, a powerful lesson.
Yeah.
Continues to be. The other piece about these things, like trauma, the dark, the underworld journey, mm-hmm. that the election that just happened was on the lunar eclipse. And I was like, I'm hiding. I am right? that I am not going outside. I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. I was scared of the lunar eclipse. Mm-hmm. but yeah, it's what I was going to say was these things don't necessarily always go away. It's like the tendrils will kind of come back and grab at us. And then what do we do with that? Mm-hmm. Am I going to let it take me down? Or am I going to, you know, just see it as, oh, something's pulling at me. What can I do right now to give myself some compassion, to get support, and to remember who I am? Mm-hmm. I am a spirit inside of this body. I am more than just this body. Death, which has been in my face, in all of our faces, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for a few years at least, mm-hmm. I'm befriending it. I'm befriending these little deaths. And I'm scared of the big ones, but I'm still looking to befriend it. I'm still looking to befriend it as not something like the Grim Reaper, but as the Great Mother, the Divine Mother, and cloaked in her black velvet, luscious warmth, mm-hmm. you know, that when the time comes, when I need to go into the dark, into the underworld, when I'm forced in there again, that I can surrender and that I can allow myself to feel love and held in that space. Mm-hmm. It may feel like I'm being annihilated and I'm being held.
Yeah.
And I trust it. So in general, all of this, the self-expressed woman and this journey to self-compassion for me has been a journey from betrayal back to trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trusting life, trusting God, goddess, source, trusting myself, trusting my purpose, trusting that I'm okay, that I'm going to be okay mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that on the other, that this blip of time in the sea of life is like one tiny little drop, that there it's purposeful and that there's it that there's more. This is just part of a continuum, an infinite continuum of love. Mm-hmm. So it's not so annihilistic, I guess is my thing.
Yeah. 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 I totally hear you and honor that and embrace that. And I know a lot of us, we aspire to be that self-expressed woman, that self-expressed being. And we do hold compassion for other beings, for the planet. And yet it's so easy to lose ourselves in that. How do you hold clear boundaries and still hold compassion for other people?
Oh yeah. So it takes practice. It takes practice. And that's why as a publisher, supporting women to write their books and share their story is step one. I mean, just sharing your story and being witnessed is step one, because then we can learn it's okay to speak what's real. It's okay to be me and know that I'm not being judged. Mm-hmm. So it's like finding a safe container to be able to speak up and share our stories. I have writers who submit their writing every week and it's just something really deep and inner and personal. It's not going in their book, mm-hmm. but they mm-hmm. need to be witnessed in it. Mm-hmm. And they need to see that it's okay. Oh gosh, I just feel such relief now that I got this out of me, this secret.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a way to release all the shame. And to clear it. And so getting lost in the big, huge meta vision can get really easy for mm-hmm. us For those of us who feel, you know, like we want to live a mythic life and it makes sense what that is, and we're doing it together, change makers and people who want to create an impact. And it is so easy to get lost inside of the old patterns. I do it all the time. I mean, I just joined a gym yesterday. I went and worked out. Well, today I didn't get up and go to the gym. So I felt it. Like I felt that, uh-oh, am I back in the same old pattern again? I know that I need a sacred start. I know that I need to take care of my body. I know how good I feel when I'm done. But yet I was just not able to get there. So I have to forgive myself and try again tomorrow because there's no other way to do it. And instead of holding and like, oh, forget it. It's never going to happen. What a waste of money, blah, blah, which is the story I've been telling myself for years.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. Same.
So it's like writing our new story, right? We got to write the new story. What is my new belief? What is my new story? Because if I'm going to be self-expressed and I'm going to be in the stream of life, of love, of abundance, of flow, of change, and be the best I can be while I'm here, you know, what is holding me back? What is it? What is that belief that is not, that is keeping me from expanding, from going there, from opening up to, from opening to something new?
Yeah. I love that you provide space for women to write, whether there's putting it in a book or not, to write and then share that with you. And, I can attest to the fact that writing it down and letting it be seen and heard by other people really is healing and transformative. So I love that you've titled this, you know, the self-expressed woman. And then the gift that you have to offer everyone is a template to get started on writing. So can you tell us a little bit about that free gift that you're offering?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So this is an outline document and it's for fiction, sorry, for nonfiction. So basically like a memoir or a personal story. You can use it for a whole book or you can just use it to create a chapter or whatever it is that you want to, whatever your message is, and it'll help you distill the message because it's going to bring you through a series of questions so that you can sort of identify how you want to feel, what's most important to you, what is the whole point, what's your why, and who's it for? Because when we're writing, sometimes it's for ourselves, but oftentimes we are writing so that we can serve other people. And so in that case, then it's a relationship. With the reader. Who is the reader? Who's the potential reader? What do I want them to receive from this? What is my wish for them? And how can I write it so that they can receive it and not be confused, right? Or how can I create the resonance inside of the vibration of this story so that somebody else can have like an aha moment?
So that's the first step. Sign up for Astara's free gift. If people, I know that you do tons of things for women. People can meet you at a lot of different levels. What would be the next step if somebody wanted to reach out to you and work with you? What would you
suggest? We have a Divine Writers Club, which is a monthly membership for $22. And when you sign up for that, then you join our community of writers. And I offer a writing temple, an archetypal writing temple every month. So, which includes prompts and some teachings around that. And then we have a Q&A call every month. So you can come with your writing, with your questions about publishing, about anything, bring your questions. And then we offer access to our weekly writing power hour sessions on Fridays, where you come and join the call and we write in silence together. We co-write. So there's a lot of ways to get accountability there and to get activated and to bust through any of the blocks so that you can get started writing and figuring out what is it I'm working on? What is my next project? So that's a great way. And then we have Divine Writing Journey, which is our 9-month course to birth mm-hmm. your manuscript mm-hmm. and includes full edits. And that's in a group container, and that's very mm-hmm. powerful Vortex also. Mm-hmm. And then I take on some one-on-one clients every year as well. Mm-hmm. So I work privately with some authors too. So I'm on social, mm-hmm. sort of shifting from Facebook into Instagram a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm. And they can always reach out to you on your website as well.
Yeah. And you can email support at Flower of Life Press, and we can hop on a call too if there's any questions or, mm-hmm. yeah. But, you know, the most important thing is that every woman's story matters. Yeah. Every story.
Yeah.
And my mission is to share 1 million women's stories. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I don't know how exactly. I'm just trusting, but, you know, join me. Let's link arms. Let's do this, because when you do it, it serves the world.
Yes, it does. Astara, thank you so much for the contribution you are making to the planet and to all women everywhere. You are changing the world one woman's story at a time.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you so much.
It's been so delightful. Thanks for sharing, sweetie.
Thank you.